Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of Hebrews. And while you're turning there, let me just ask you a question. Have you ever missed an appointment in your life? And of course, life is filled with appointments. You have doctor's appointments. You have appointments of all types and all kinds in the journey of life. Every one of us do. Some of you probably already have appointments maybe with a business associate this coming week. We all face the reality of appointments in life. Now, sometimes we mess up and we miss an appointment. Maybe we had an appointment and we just realized that we forgot it. I know of a preacher one time who had a wedding to do, and he forgot the appointment to do the wedding. And he wouldn't have done it for anything in the world, but still yet, he forgot the appointment. And he said, "I don't know if the family ever did forgive me, but I did everything I could to make it right." But the reality is, we're human and we're flawed, and there's a possibility of some appointments in life that we're going to forget. But this morning, I want to share with you four appointments that every one of us are going to keep. There are four appointments in every one of our lives, and none of us are going to bypass any of them. You know, there are some things that if we don't want to believe it, we just try to get it out of our mind. We try not to think about it for as long as possible. But there are four appointments in life that you are going to keep, and you can't get around them, no matter what you think, no matter what you may believe. You cannot get around these appointments in life. But I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27, verse 28. Because the writer of Hebrews is talking about one appointment that we're going to face in life. But I want you to listen very carefully to these two verses. We've said them over and over, and you know them. But this is just one part of the appointments that we're going to look at. We're going to keep your Bibles open because we're going to look at some other appointments. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." When you look carefully in this text of Scripture, you'll find two of the four appointments that we're going to talk about. In this text, the writer says there is an appointment that every one of us face, and one of those is death. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. And then the other one that we're going to talk about last is the appointment to stand before God. But there's another appointment, two other appointments that I want you to look at. And I want you to take your Bible and turn back to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3, verse 2. And it's in your outline if you want to look at it there. But the Bible says that every one of us have an appointment to be born. Now, that's a taken for granted because you're sitting here and I'm looking at you and you're looking at me and you say, "Well, yeah, that's understandable." But do you realize that your presence on this earth was a divine appointment by God? You see, oftentimes we forget and we misunderstand the way we came into the world. We have this idea that, well, our parents met up and they got together, and because they loved one another, they brought me into the world. Well, that's wonderful, that's noble, and that's partly true, but that's not completely true. You did not land on this earth by accident. You're not here by happenstance. In the divine economy of God, God planned for you to be here. God designed when you would land on this earth. The Bible says that he arranged it in such a way when you came into this world. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 2, Solomon is the writer. He talks about a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Solomon said, in the economy of God, there was a time in the providence of God for you to be born and for me to be born. Now, no person asked to come into this world, and maybe you have a misunderstanding of how you got here. Because there's a lot of people you talk to, and they say, "Well, you know what, my mom and dad, this, and all sorts of things and baggage in their life, and they're really struggling with, why am I here on this earth? Why was I born? Why was I even allowed to live?" That was the question Job asked in his own life, because, you know, all the problems he faced in life, and maybe you're facing problems in your life, and you sometimes say, "Why was I born? Why am I even here?" But do you realize that in the economy of God, God purposed your existence? You are not here just because your mom and dad got together. You are here because God wanted you to live. You are here because God created your life. And before you even were conceived in your mom, God arranged for your birth to take place. How do you know that? Because the Bible says it. Now listen to me very carefully. God says, let his word be true and every man a liar. Amen? We get all sorts of misconceptions and ideas, and there's a lot of people that are walking through life with all sorts of baggage, but you need to get in your mind, you are a design plan by Holy God. Sometimes we struggle with it in life, and all of the many of the writers in Scripture, David struggled with it because he looked at some things in his life, and David was in a home, and he was one of the least in his home, but God was working in his life. And as David began to examine his life and examine his birth and all the things that happened to his life, he came to this conclusion. I want you to listen to it in Psalms 139. He's talking about the Lord. He said, you saw me before I was born. Now, how can you be before you're born? Listen, you and I, there's a million things we can't understand. We can't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and give yellow butter and white milk. There's a million things that we can't understand in life. But David said, God saw me before I was born. In the economy of God, there was an appointment for you, and you are the orchestration of God. It may be you had a tough growing up. You may have had a hard time growing up. You may have had somebody that they didn't even care how you grew up. But I can tell you this, there was one who cared about you, and his name is Holy God. And there are many things that happen in our life that sometimes you think, man, there's no reason I should be alive. I look back at my life, and I think that sometimes. When I was a little boy, I wanted to drive before I could learn to drive. Now, you know what I'm talking about. If you ever just got in a car and you wanted to just drive, and I didn't realize in that day and time, you kick it out of gear and it's gone. I kicked it out of gear and it's gone. And I was just going run, except the hill was this way. I wasn't going forward. I was going in reverse. And I thought, I don't really care about being in this car. I think I'll get out. I got out. Only problem was my sister and my cousin was in the back seat. They was reading comic books. I didn't tell them I was leaving. I just got out. And I got under the car door, under the driver's side, and as I laid there, I looked at the wheel as it went by me. God spared my life. And you're thinking, now, where did the car go? Well, here goes the car. And all of a sudden, a man driving down the road, No Town Road, Middlesbrough, Kentucky, he saw what was happening. As it was getting ready to go over the road and go down a hill and hit a house, he saw there was no driver inside. He was very observant. I left. And about the time it was getting ready to get on the road, he raced up, parked his car, and got in that car and put the brakes on. I went to tell my dad. I said, Dad, that car is going backwards and don't have a driver in it. But listen very carefully. There are 100 things in your life, probably you think, there's no reason I should be here. I should have been dead. Do you realize that God purposed your life? David said, all the days planned by God were ordained for me before one of them came into existence. God knows every day of my life. I had an appointment to be born. I am here on purpose. I am here by the planning of God, by the agenda of God. You are here the same way. God has an assignment for you. God has an agenda for you. You had an appointment. Now listen. If you have baggage in your life, allow God to bring you through it and deal with it. If you had a mom or dad that didn't care about where you were, what you did, all those things, then face up to it and own up to it. But never underestimate the fact that you're not an accident. You are here on purpose by the planning of Holy God, and God is the one who birthed you, brought you into this world. He knew when to let you splash down, so to speak. You know, some of us, why aren't we all the same age? Listen, you know, every one of us are different. And it happens so often and so much that, well, we just look around and we take life for granted. We take life, you know, just take it as it comes. But David said that God had an appointment for you and me. And what that does then, it governs my life. Listen, when I realize I'm here by holy God, and you realize you're here, that directs your steps. That directs the course of your life. That directs what you do and how you do what you do. Because you never were an accident, you are not an accident, and you never will be an accident, in spite of some of the things that may have happened in your life. You were born on purpose, and God says this about your life, your life, your life, and my life. There was a time that he wanted you to come into this world, and that was your time to be born. Now, as you grew up, you hopefully tried to learn as much as you could so you could be what God purposed you to be. But God said, that's an appointment for your life. And that's never going to alter. Now, every one of us are different ages. I remember somebody who was sharing with me some months ago. They was helping somebody out of a doctor's office. And they met this lady. And they said, ask her, how old are you, lady? Just a very precious grandmother type person. And maybe called her granny. And she said, I'm 104 years old. Can you imagine that? That was about just 8 years after the Titanic sunk. Now, every one of us are going to age. We're going to have all the aging. But would you get it in your mind you're born by the agenda of God? Do you believe that God planned your life? Would you just say amen about that? Listen, then if that's the case, that ought to govern what you do in your daily life. We're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. But God wants you to know you are His design, His desire. And someday when you and I see the heavenlies and we're ushered into the presence of God and we live in that realm on the other side of earth, we'll understand it. But here's the thing about it. Get it in your heart. And I say this to you young people. Maybe you've had some bouts in life. I don't know about you, but of course, sometimes you'll see incidents just take your heart. And situation the other day, a little boy was left at McDonald's and just found out it was a freaky situation. But I thought, what if somebody had dropped that child off? And there's a lot of people who are fighting through rubbish in their life. But would you listen very carefully? God purposed your life. You may be a six-year-old little boy or a six-year-old little girl, but you're here by God's plan. You're here on purpose by God. God arranged you to be put where you are because there is a God in heaven who loves you. And that's what we need to orient others to, and we need to be reminded ourselves. But God said the first appointment that you and I was designed for was the appointment of birth. Sadly, there's a lot of people in our world, in our culture, who are fighting about abortion and say, well, it's a mother's right, and it's this and it's that. But can I just say this? There is no reference to abortion in the Word of God. Not once. And would you listen to me real carefully? Even the heathen in the Old Testament did not abort their children. If you just want to look at historical records, they didn't. Now, I can't tell you, there's some things they did to their children, which are abominable. They would have their children, and maybe they would sacrifice them to the river gods, because it was thought in Old Testament custom that if you had twins, then one of those was go to the river god. You got to keep one, you got to throw another one away. But they didn't abort their children. But here's the reality. You had an appointment to be born. God saw to that. Now, as you grow, and of course the mystery of birth is just miraculous. As a matter of fact, one of our church family right now is in London, and Brad and Desiree. Desiree is having a little baby, and hopefully today is that day. Brad texted me this morning, nervous, excited, and he said, we're in the hospital, so you pray for them. And as I've watched my own granddaughter grow up and growing up and watching, there's a mystery. But here's what God wants you to get in your heart. And I'm camping on this for a purpose. God wants you to understand you'll never be an accident. Some people say this, I don't know why I'm an accident, and they'll just put the gun to their head and take their life. You are not an accident. You'll never be an accident. You're an on purpose in the economy of God. But there's a second appointment every one of us face in life, and there's that appointment to experience conviction of the Holy Spirit in our life. Now listen to what the Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 8. And when he has come, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. John 6:44 says this, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Because God is a God of absolute and complete truth. Here's what God wants you to know about yourself. Without Jesus Christ, you're hopeless. Every one of us are sinners before a holy God. That's just the way we are. Every one of us, if we die without a relationship with God, we will die and miss heaven. We will die and enter what the Bible calls the lake of fire, the lake of hell. Because God loves you and me so much and doesn't want us to miss eternity, He has designed it in such a way that His Holy Spirit, at the right time, in the right way, comes to us and let us know we're a sinner. Now listen very carefully. I cannot tell you you're a sinner. I cannot tell you on the inside you're a sinner, and I can't tell you on the inside you're a sinner. I can publicly declare the Word of God, but in a place where only the Holy Spirit can do it, He convinces you and me that we're sinners. I remember that time when I was just a little boy, 7, 8 years old. I knew in my heart of hearts that if I died without Jesus Christ, I knew where I was going. What was the Holy Spirit doing? That was my appointment in my life to experience conviction of sin. And the Bible makes it very clear that there is an appointment in every one of our lives to experience conviction of sin. Why? Because if you reject Jesus Christ, it will not be God's fault. If you reject Jesus Christ, it will not be Jesus' fault. If you reject Jesus Christ, it will not be the Holy Spirit's fault. It will be your fault. And the Bible says that, you know, here's God. He has an infinite love for you and me. And He don't want us to die lost, but God is holy. Now, sometimes we'll say, well, why don't God just change His mind and do this and do this and do this and do the other? We misunderstand what Scripture says. The Bible says God is unchanging. Since He is unchanging, He is unchangeable. And if God allowed sinners into heaven, then He wouldn't be a holy God in and of themselves. As a matter of fact, all the way back in Ezekiel, God says the soul that sins, it shall die. Every one of us at some point in our life, we know we're not right with God. Just referring to a show this morning in Sunday school class, sometimes, as I shared, Charlotte and I will watch the show Pawn Stars. It's on the History Channel. But I was interesting one night when they got some type of book. I think it was called Dante's Inferno. The son said to I think it's Chumley, and he said, what's that book about? And here's what Richard said. He said, that's about some place where you're probably going to live. Do you know the Bible says in every one of us, we know that eternity is inside of us? The Bible says that in the book of Ecclesiastes. Eternity is what's inside of each one of us. We know we're going to live someplace for all of eternity. You don't have to convince a person of that because God made every one of us. You know you're going to live forever someplace. And the Bible says that because God loves you and me so much, there is an appointment that He convicts you and me of our sin. The Bible put it this way in John 16, talking about when the Holy Spirit has come, it'll be the Holy Spirit's responsibility to convict of sin, of judgment, and righteousness. Do you remember that day when you was convicted of sin and you realized you was a sinner before holy God? I never will forget that day when I was a little boy. I thought if I died right now, I would go to hell. Nobody convinced me of that. Nobody, I didn't sit in a church and somebody tell me that. I knew deep in my heart. And that's exactly what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit tells you where you're going to spend eternity apart from Jesus Christ. It's funny when I talk to little boys and little girls, and especially in vacation Bible school, I said, they'll want to know about being saved. And I say, honey, where are you going to go if you died right now? Because it's so important to be just openly honest. And they won't say hell. They will say, because God has placed inside of you and me and all of His creation that awareness that there is a place where a person lives for all of eternity apart from Jesus Christ. Now, why does the Holy Spirit convict us? It's His warning. Now, listen to me real carefully. If I was traveling down American Greeting Road and the road was out down close to 25, Cumberland Falls Road, or on the other 25, and I mean there's a big chasm and you was close by, wouldn't you tell me to stop? Well, I hope you'd tell me to stop. You saw a big chasm in the road. Listen, do you think God is going to lovingly let you die without Jesus Christ being at least aware that Christ died for you? That conviction on the inside of your soul that you feel sometimes when you're in church, when you're listening to maybe a gospel song or when you're listening to something Christian, is that conviction from God letting you know you're a sinner. God, it's God's warning signal to you and me that if we don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we're dead. If we don't place our faith in Jesus Christ, we're dead. And that's why you and I place our faith in Christ. That's why we turn to Him. Now listen to me very carefully. The Holy Spirit lets you and me know that warning signal. He lets you know that you're not right with God. Because here's the reality. Only perfection can go to heaven. You say, now wait just a minute. I'm not perfect. Jesus Christ is, and His life is imparted to your life when you place your faith in Him. In other words, God looks at Jesus Christ whenever you get ready to leave this world, whenever you place your faith in Christ. That's exactly what happens. But if you don't place your faith in Jesus Christ, then you have that appointment, and the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin. You say, well, why is it so many people die without Jesus Christ? Because the Holy Spirit cannot make you decide. The Bible says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Many there be that find it. Why? Because there's a lot of people that live in rebellion. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit has scheduled a day on your life, and my life, that He's going to convict us. And every person that dies and enters hell, they die knowing at somewhere, someplace, sometime, God has convicted them in one way or the other. Because nobody accidentally stumbles into hell. You say, well, what about that person that doesn't hear the gospel? Listen, we're not God. God's God. And God knows what He does in people's lives all over the world. And see, that's why sometimes at the end of an invitation, listen carefully. That's why sometimes at the end of a service and an invitation, you'll feel this impression in your spirit, this deep guilt in your spirit, because that's God's conviction. That is an appointment to your life. God is saying, I want to rescue you, but you must cooperate. But if you don't cooperate, the Bible says there's no other help. If you turn away from God, turn away from Jesus, turn away from the Holy Spirit, what else is there to help you? There's no other way. There's no other help. And the only thing awaiting for you at the end of life, the Bible says, is a lake of fire, place called hell, Gehenna, however you want to describe it. And you see, the reality of it is, Jesus died on the cross, but He can't make you be saved. And the truth about it is, some of us, whenever we get ready to leave this life, well, we turned off Jesus, we turned off the Holy Spirit, we turned off that conviction and that warning in our spirit, and we're getting ready to leave this world, and we're not ready. And that appointment, that conviction, that drawing of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says, when you look at chapter 6, verse 40, listen carefully. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And you see, the thing about it is, well, there's a second chance after you go to hell, isn't there? Is there a second chance after you go to hell? You give me the answer. No. And you see, the truth about it is, you look in Scripture, and you'll never find anyone. You know, even those that are in hell today, they know. They know that they know that they know they're in a place of no out. They're not screaming repentance, because when your will is turned against God, against Jesus, against the Holy Spirit, your will is turned for all of eternity. Don't you dare think for one moment that there's a soul in hell wants to get saved today. There's not a soul in hell that wants to get saved. Don't you dare think that. You know why? If you think that, then you're saying that a soul has more compassion than holy God does. And that is absolutely an abomination to his character. There's not a soul in hell that wants to be saved. You know why? Because the heart is hardened. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen some people say, man, I remember when he was this way, but he's just hardened his heart. You don't tenderize your heart after it's hardened, friend. You don't tenderize it on down the road. When your heart is hardened, your heart is hardened. Why do you think we use that phrase, a hardened heart? That's why, you know, my responsible is to declare the gospel to you. But if you reject the gospel and die without Jesus, that is on your shoulders. Because you have chosen to reject the only way to be saved. You have chosen to reject the only person who can redeem you and save you. You have chosen to reject that warning system. How can you be saved without the Holy Spirit drawing you? It doesn't matter how many times you run down this aisle. You can run down this aisle 500 times. But unless the Holy Spirit draws you and you mean business with God, there's no salvation. Amen? Unless the Holy Spirit draws. And you see, the reality of it is, it's a dangerous thing when the Holy Spirit is dealing in your life and you just white-knuckle it, so to speak. You just stand there and say, next time. God putting you off till next time. Are you sure? There'll be a next time? Just a few weeks ago, some of us heard on the news, read in the paper, where one of the country music stars, 38 years old, ended her life. Just yesterday at one of the major NASCAR events, some people were hurt and I think two or three critically injured. The Bible says you don't know what a day holds. You don't know what a day holds for your life. And that's why if you reject the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you reject that appointment, then you're just saying no to God. And that will happen so many times. And then it'll get easier. Get easier, get easier, get easier. And finally, you flatlined when it comes to sensitivity to God. There's a lot of people that are flatlined. They can hear about the gospel. They can hear about hell. They can hear, but you know what? I can tell you when you're going to really believe it. When you die. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible makes it very clear what's going to happen. In Luke chapter 16, verse 22 and 23, Jesus gives an example. And it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off in his bosom. Now some people say, well, you know, that's just figurative language. That's not true. Listen, if it is, then God has lied to us. God has said, let him be true and every man a liar. Listen to what he says about the reality of the life to come for those who reject Christ. And sometimes we think, well, what's so important to be saved? Because the wrath of God is going to rain on your life. One of the things that's happening anymore, we're not afraid of God. Do you realize just a few weeks ago, God just sort of showed the world, I can send a meteor and I can send it to Russia and it's no problem. God is still God. God is always on his throne, and God is serious about being reverenced. God made it very clear in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, friend, I'm not trying to scare you, but I am telling you the truth. You die without Jesus, you're going to hell. You die without Jesus Christ, and there's no hope. You die without Jesus Christ, and he is the only way to satisfy the wrath of God. See, here's what happened. God poured all of his wrath on Jesus Christ. And when God poured the wrath on Jesus Christ, it was paid in full. And if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, there's no wrath going to be rained on you. I don't have to worry about the wrath of God. Thank God. Amen. God's not going to rain his wrath on me, not because I'm a preacher. Not because I go to church, but because I invited Jesus Christ into my life and God said, I've already rained my wrath and I've rained. But listen, if you're not in Jesus Christ, he's going to rain his wrath on you. You're going to know someday what it is to feel the fury of a holy God. You're going to know someday what it is to feel the fury of a God in whom you've rejected and said, no, I will not accept your son. I refuse to accept your son. You will know someday the wrath of a holy God. Because the Bible says, God says, the soul that sins must die. Not because God wants it, but because his holiness demands it. So second of all, there is the appointment to be convicted. And third, there's the appointment to die. In this book of Hebrews in chapter 9 that we just read a moment ago, God says you have an appointment to die. Have you heard lately how arrogant we are becoming in our society? A man is in the process of attempting to subvert and say, there is no reason that man has to die. We're working on that. He is investing millions of dollars to offset and try to prevent the death process. There's only one problem with that. It will never happen because God has said, because of our sinful nature, God doesn't want us to die. It's sin that causes us to die. It's sin that causes us to miss God's best. And you see, the truth of Scripture makes it very clear. And you know, whenever you look in Scripture, the Bible shows, you know, how many men, how many women, doesn't matter who they were, godly, ungodly, they died. Stop thinking about 100 years from now, all of us will probably be dead. I'm hoping for the rapture myself. I'd like for that to come. I mean, I wouldn't mind to go right during this message if the Lord wants to. If he wants to interrupt my message, that's wonderful with me. And everybody should say amen on that. Lord. Now listen, you have an appointment. You can't get around it. When you get to be 50, a little older and a little older, you start thinking about some plans because what am I going to do when I get to be older? What am I going to do when I, how am I going to set things in place for the time I'm gone? Who's going to get my house? Who's going to get my car? Who's going to get this and who's going to get that? Because we need to make plans to leave because you are going to die. Sometimes Charlotte and I, of course I bring it up. She don't want me to bring it up when I bring it up. I said, have you ever thought how you're going to die and how we might die? She goes, yeah, you can't help but think about it. And then she quickly goes on to another subject. When are we going over to Monticello to see the grandbaby? You know, that's usually where she goes to. But here's what I'm saying. You have an appointment. It's your appointment. It's my appointment. I have an appointment with death. I don't know what age it is. I don't know where it will be. I don't know if it will be a hospital, nursing home, don't know if it will be on the road, don't know if it will be some freakish thing. I don't know, but here's the reality. It's coming, and a fool does not prepare for death. It's the foolish person. Like Jesus said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of you. You have an appointment with death. And the statistics show that the average age, if whatever age you are, just calculate to about 80, that's how many more years you have to live. If you're 50, you've probably got about 30. If you're 60, you've got about 20. That's roughly the age limit, you know, the statistics, Center for Disease Control, you know, that's what they say, the average lifespan is. Some longer, some shorter. But the Bible says it's an appointment. You can't escape it. But the issue is what are you doing to prepare for it? What are you doing to prepare for it spiritually? You know, it's going to happen. And you look at people in Scripture, and it's amazing how they live. They live just like we do. You know, that rich man, he was busy about life and building and building and building, and God said, thou fool, tonight. In other words, God said, I have the handle over your life. You think you... Now, please understand the loving kindness of God. God doesn't... But God says, I know, I'm the sovereign of the universe. I'm the governor of the world. And he said, I want you to face the truth. I want you to face the truth that you are going to die. Face the fact. Face it in your soul. Face it in your spirit. Sometimes one of the best ways to enjoy life, now this sounds crazy, but I want you to listen to me real carefully. You'll understand if you do it. Sometimes I'll go out to the cemetery where Charlotte's mom and dad are buried. Sometimes I'll just stand there and I'll just reminisce on the memories that we've had through the years, and the fried chicken we've had over supper, and the soup beans and the cornbread and the potatoes, and just the conversation and all that, and sitting on the front porch and just listening to him share story after story. And as you stand there, but you realize it's coming. A wise man prepares, because here's the reality. None of us knows the day of our departure. It's going to happen to you and me. But you see, it's a wonderful day for the child of God. Because in the Word it says, absent from the body, present where? With the Lord. So if I die of a heart attack right here now, you'll probably get shaken up. But don't worry, you'll know where I am. But what are you doing about that appointment? But the fourth appointment is to stand before God. I want you to look again in Hebrews, verse 27. The last phrase of verse 27. After this, after what? Judgment. But now wait just a minute, I'm saved. And for the person that's lost, it's going to be judgment on them. It's not going to be judgment on me, right? Wrong. You need to look through the Word of God and find out very carefully what judgment is taking place. Because, listen very carefully, your earthly life is a gift to you from Holy God. And here's what he's doing. As you live your life, he rewards you for obedience. He rewards you for obeying him. He rewards you for following him. He rewards you for surrendering your life to him. And he's going to judge the believer. It's going to be two different locations. The judgment seat of Christ is for the child of God. The Bema, where only the redeemed stand. But the great white throne judgment is for only the unbeliever. And you see, the Bible makes it very clear. There is a judgment awaiting every human being. God knows who's turned to him, and he knows who's not. But the Bible makes it very clear there is a judgment. Now, how's everything going to happen? Some of the best theologians through the centuries still debate that question. But here are the facts. Judgment is coming. Judgment is individual. Now, don't you ever think for one moment God is going to get all the Christians together and he's going to say something to every one of them. No, you are going to stand personally in front of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we must all give account of how our works have been. We say, what do you mean, what about our works? We're not saved by works. No, you're not saved by works, but you honor God by your works. You honor God by working a life of faithful devotion. You honor God by surrendering your life daily. You honor God by serving others, serving him. But the Bible says there's a day of judgment coming. I have an appointment, and folks, just as sure as I walk down here, and as I walk down here and I'm standing in front of Mike Mills, I am going to literally stand in front of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is going to be as physical, as real, as bodily as I am and as Mike is. Because the Bible says this same Jesus who went up is coming back the same way. Jesus had a body when he left. And I'm going to stand before Jesus, and he's going to look at me. I'm going to have a body. He has a body. And he is going to know the totality of my life. And he is going to call me into account. He's going to judge me more strictly than any of you in this building. Because I have been entrusted with the Holy Word of God. I have been trusted to teach it and to preach it accurately. Not familiarly, not user-friendly wise, but accurately. And you see, here's what he says. There's a judgment coming for me. There's a judgment coming for you. Now listen carefully. If you've squandered your Christian life, it's going to be a serious thing. It's going to be a most serious thing, because Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians. There's going to be some who stand before Jesus and they've lived their life for wood, hay, and stubble stuff. In other words, if you live only for this earth and having stuff and having things and investing in things, then you're going to be in a mess. Jesus is going to call me and you into account. And if you're without Christ, you're going to find what hell is going to be like. You're going to think about this for a moment. If you reject God, reject Jesus, reject the Holy Spirit, you will have the reality of living with the devil forever and ever and ever. Living with the demons forever and ever. And living with every person that has rejected Jesus Christ. The wicked Hitlers and Mussolinis and Lenins and all those who are just wicked from the core. You say, well, surely God won't do that. If you reject Jesus, there is no option. Listen to what God said. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The dangerous thing of our world is we won't user-friendly anymore. We won't user-friendly comforts. We won't user-friendly this and that. I'm here to tell you, God has never changed. His word never changes, and his word never will change. And you say, well, that just sounds like, you know, God wants to burn people. That's not true. That's Satan infilling men's minds with lies. Let me ask you this. If God didn't want you, he didn't have to let his son die for you. Amen? Would you let your child die for me? If I went around this room and I said, Don, would you let Lindsay die for me? He'd probably say, preacher, on her worst day and your best day, I love you, but I'm sorry, she's not dying for you. If I went all the way back and I said, June, would you let Dale die for me? If I went all the way around, Pam, would you let Kayla? Went all the way around over here. Hope, would you let Trish? You know, all the way around. Luther, would you let Richard die for me? You see, the reality is God didn't have to let his son die for us. But here's what God knew. I can't get them into heaven unless somebody pays for their sins. And God originated a plan to give the lifeblood of his son so you can go to heaven. If you don't want Jesus, if you don't want salvation, then God lovingly gives you what you want. And there's no other place but hell. Someone wisely said, there's two types of people. Those who say to God, God, your will be done in my life, and turn to him in salvation. And then those that God says to others, your will be done. And he lets them lovingly go into the only place they can go. A lake of fire, rejection, where everyone who's abandoned God and rejected, and you see, you have an appointment. Is it 100 years out, 1,000 years out, 2,000 years out? I don't know. But God has said, you have an appointment. I have an appointment. And it is coming. Friend, if you're here and you're tricking yourself that you're saved, then you're only tricking one person. You may be deceiving some others, but you're not going to deceive God. There's nobody tricking God. And if you say, well, I believe some stuff, the Bible says only Jesus is the way of salvation. Peter said it best. I perceive there is no other way to be saved other than Jesus. If you try to be saved some other way, you will find out in the end you're missing out. What are you doing about these appointments for your life? Father, we thank you so much for your truth, for your word, for reminding every one of us we have four appointments. and we'll never pass by them. There's an appointment for all of us. And Father, I pray for that person here this morning. Lord, Satan wants to put in their mind that you don't love them, don't care about them, but if you didn't, you wouldn't have let Jesus die for them. And the blood of Jesus is for every man. Father, I pray for that person who's playing games. Playing games with themselves and their soul. Father, we're eternal creations, and we're going to live forever. The only issue is where. Father, you've done everything, and now you give man opportunity to turn to Jesus. I pray, Father, for that man, for that woman who's ignoring these appointments in their life. I pray, Father, that you would draw them by your Spirit this morning. Father, is our prayer. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus we pray.